Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to talk to you about the reading that we just heard, or the first reading that we heard, rather, from the book of the prophet Isaiah. This is from the second part of the prophet Isaiah, when the first part, of course, is the people are being condemned by the Lord for their idolatry. It said their very sinfulness, various ways. The second part of the prophet Isaiah is when they're living in exile in Babylon. So kind of a clear division. This is from the second part. And I want to talk to you about repentance in particular. So this is a true story. I don't know if I may have told it to you before, but I'll tell it again briefly. It's a true story. There's a woman who was, I think, probably about in her 40s. She'd been a foreign war correspondent for most of her life, so she'd been to all these kind of really dangerous places in the world where there was war breaking out, and she was not a Christian person. She was, in fact, if I remember the story correctly, probably a little bit skeptical of the church, maybe even a little hostile to the church, and certainly had no intention of living in the way that the church outlined that people should live. But one day she found herself and had not been in a church in her memory in any way. One day she found herself in a very diverse area of San Francisco. So, of course, that meant there were a lot of churches around, because a lot of ethnic diverse communities, lots of different churches. And she said to herself, I'm paraphrasing, but she said to herself, listen, you've been to the most dangerous war, dangerous places in the world where war has broken out and there's violence. Surely you can handle going into a church. And she said to herself, okay, don't want to do it, but I'll do it. So this is what she said. She said, I walked into this church. I don't know what they were doing. But at the end of it, there was a woman strangely dressed at the front of the church, and she was handing food out to people. So I went up, I took the food, I put it in my mouth, and she said, I realized two things simultaneously. One, this was a piece of bread, and two, this was God. And that is a pretty, it's a true story. And it's a pretty remarkable story. But one little problem with that story, I will suggest, and it's this. What about the repentance part? You know, what about the part where you are convinced of your sins, where you turn to the Lord and ask for forgiveness of your sins, you experience forgiveness of your sins, and then you get, oh, this bread is God. You know, is that not the proper word? I mean, I hate to argue with somebody's religious experience, but is that not the proper order of things? Repentance first. And in fact, is that not, we talking about the book of the prophet Isaiah, is that not what we see in the prophet Isaiah? As I said to you, first part of it is, read through it. It's a great book. First part of it is, you guys are not listening. I have told you 1,000 times, you're committing idolatry, you're oppressing the poor, you're living immoral lives. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And if you keep this up, this city, the temple that you claim is going to protect you, there's a famous line in Jeremiah where it goes, oh, we'll be safe, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. And Jeremiah goes, good luck saying the temple of the Lord over and over again as if that's going to protect you. Isaiah says the same thing. There are going to be consequences. If you continue to treat God like your enemy, there's going to be consequences. And I have to warn you, the temple of the Lord is going to be destroyed by the Babylonians. In fact, the last section of this book of Isaiah shows King Hezekiah stupidly showing the Babylonians around. Like, hey, here's where our money is, here's where our weapons are. Yeah, this is a great idea. And Jeremiah and Isaiah's going, man, you just do not have a clue, do you? So that's the end of that section. So that's how it works, right? First section is, you know, you experience that God tells you that you're in a state of sin. You need to repent, right? Second state is that you repent. I'm thinking about the way the book of Isaiah is structured. And the second section is that you repent. And the third section is what? It's like in the prodigal son, the father runs towards us, puts the gown on us, puts the ring on our finger and says, have I got a feast for you? Right? Do we all agree that's the way things should work? One problem in the book of Isaiah. Part two is missing. Condemnation, destruction, over here, exile, and then we hear immediately from your city is going to be destroyed, we hear this. Comfort, comfort my people. Some of you could probably sing this. Comfort, comfort my people. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and tell them that their time of warfare is ended, that their iniquity is forgiven. Or, as we have heard today in Isaiah, do not be afraid. I have freed you. I have forgiven your sins. I love you, and I have given you a new name. And your new name is, you are mine. So, right. Stage one there is there. Stage three there. Three is there. But stage two is missing. It's as if. So this is why I would like things to work. If anybody wants to elect me to be put in charge of the universe, the way I'd like things to work is people sin, and then we prepare a landing pad for God to come, so to speak, with our repentance, and then God comes, and then it's a three-part play. It works great. But this is not what happens in the book of Isaiah. God appears to the people, declares that their sins are forgiven, gives them a new name, tells them he loves them while they're in exile, and it is completely out of the blue. There is no indication they have done anything to do the necessary repentance. Oh, man. No, that's not the end of the story. That is, you got to admit, maybe you're not like me. I feel a little bit like the older brother in the prodigal son. Do you remember that story? Oh, this son of yours, who's been spending and wasting all his money, and he just shows up and you run towards me, you give him all this stuff. I have been there here all this time, and I've been doing the good work, including the repenting. And what do? You just give it all away to him. It doesn't, you know, it just doesn't seem right. You would like it if God said, well, you know, do this work first, but no dice. So, what is the motto of this story? The motto is, I'm sorry, Rector, we will not be having any confession of sins today during the liturgy. They are no longer necessary. Okay. Or, is the story is, we don't need to repent. God's just going to, you know, like W. Jordan says, I love committing sins and God loves forgiving them. The world is admirably arranged. Is it like that? It's like this. This is what Isaiah is trying to tell us. It's a subtle point that I have to think a lot in order to get it right, so I'll just try and say it as clearly as I can myself. Repentance does not make God love us or accept us. It is a sign, if we are repenting, it is a sign that God has already come to us, expressed his love for us, and is already with us. Different way of thinking, right? But I believe this is what Martin Luther said. Is it not? It's grace all the way down. We cannot earn God's favor even with our most excellent repentance. We can't clear the runway by being grief-stricken enough. In fact, our repentance and our grief-strickenness are a sign that God is already at work in us and his love is working itself out in us. And he's looking around at a room where he is already living, that is in our hearts, and saying, let's clean things up here a little bit. He is already present. So if you are, this is a question I think some people have, and it's this. If you're repenting, you're grieving over personal sin, you're grieving over the past, you're grieving over this, you're grieving over that, you have the question, will God forgive me? I'm grieving over this. Will God forgive me? The answer is, well, clearly, he's already with you because this is a sign, the fact that you're repenting, it's a sign of his presence at work in you. It's a sign of his, to turn to Luther again, it's a sign that we are united with Christ. And it's one of the gifts of being united with Christ, our repentance. It doesn't create God's love for us. It's a sign of God's love for us. Does that make sense? So, that woman that I was talking about at the beginning, she had walked into an Anglican church, not surprisingly, right? She'd walked into the Eucharist, and God... So, 2 Isaiah has this conviction. It's this. The whole of humanity has a longing for God. They may not know it, and we may not know it, but we all human beings have a longing for God, and God is constantly drawing all of humanity to himself. And in this case, that's what he did with her, and he is... sneaky, right? He tricked her. He sneaked her into that church. Got her up to the front of that church and said, aha, now I've got you, and now I have a new name for you. My new name for you is this. You are mine. Did she repent? I'm sure she did. I hadn't read the rest of her story, but that's the way things work. That she would have, as part of her union with Christ, which was achieved through her reception of the Eucharist, of course she would have repented. So some of us might also say, well, that's great for her. I come to church every Sunday and I don't get a lightning bolt. That's not fair either, right? So let me tell you what. When I was baptized at the age of 21, an older man, probably my age now, I thought he was old, but anyway, an older man comes up to me, it's Easter Vigil, comes up to me after, at the end of the liturgy, and says to me, do you feel any different? And I go, nope. And he goes, you will. That is true with baptism. It's also true with the Eucharist. Do you feel different? Do you feel like her every week? Maybe, some weeks, but a lot of it is, you will. Here's the principle. I just wanted to explain, I think, what happened to her, and it's this. It's from St. Ignatius Loyola. He says this. When God enters a house for the first time, he is like a thief breaking in, and he makes a lot of noise. Right? he makes a lot of noise. So she made a lot of noise when he broke into hers. With us, he's at home. So when he enters in the Eucharist, for example, he may not make that much noise because he's already at home. So it's kind of like week by week by week by week. Do you feel any different? Yeah, we will. So let's remember this week. If we are repenting, it's a sign of God's forgiveness. There's no question about his forgiveness. It's a sign it's already happened. And let's remember this. God has given us a new name, which is, you are mine. Unto God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen.